Please be seated. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Our meditation is based on the epistle lesson just read from Romans chapter 7. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 943. When you think of the Apostle Paul, what do you think of the kind of man he was? I'm sure we think of him as a spiritual giant, right? One of the holiest men of God in the New Testament. He was the one who encountered Jesus in the blinding light in his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, where he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He then became the leading apostle of the New Testament. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. He started churches all throughout Asia Minor. He proclaimed the gospel like no one before him. He healed people through the power of the Holy Spirit. He suffered for Christ. He was beaten and thrown into prison. Wow, this guy was really above our pay grade, wouldn't you think? And by the way, unlike the disciples, he was educated. He was educated in the highest Jewish rabbinical schools of the day. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He had what is the equivalent of today, a PhD plus PhD plus PhD in theology. He was Dr. Paul of Tarsus. However, in our epistle this morning, we get to give a different take on this guy, this holy man of God. Look at verse 15, if you would. Notice what he says. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then in verse 19, he says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I so not want to do is what I keep on doing. Now, wait a minute. Did we just hear that right? How can this be? This is not the Apostle Paul we normally think of. It seems that this holy man of God, Paul, has kind of a bad habit he keeps doing. Although he wants to quit, but he knows this habit's a sin and his punishment is death, but he just can't seem to break this bad habit because he keeps doing the things he doesn't want to do. And you know what? Reading about the deep anguish that this sin is causing, we can't help but see in the text the struggle that he's going through. And he has no hope to fix himself. He's a weak human being, just like you and me. And the strong, sinful desires sometimes get the best of him. How can Paul, being such a man of God, have such a struggle? You know what? Not knowing his specific problem, I believe, is intentional. So we can identify with Paul this morning. Each of us has our own struggle or weakness with something that we should not be doing, but we do it anyway. And these weaknesses and addictions don't seem to ever go away, no matter how hard we pray, no matter how hard we try. Can you identify with Paul this morning? Do you find yourself doing things you know you shouldn't do and not doing the things God wants? Sometimes we become overwhelmed with life and it's the same sin that plagues us over and over again. Then ashamed, we carry around a load of guilt and condemnation and sometimes just, I want to give up. Maybe it's out of control anger. Or maybe it's addiction to pornography, sexual lust, alcohol, drugs, constant eating binges, lust for things we don't really need. Or maybe it's, gee, I want to quit smoking, but I just can't. Or it's the envy of others. The list goes on and on and on. You know what I'm talking about, right? These are all crosses that some of us bear. And let me point something out, too. Paul here is talking as a Christian because he says in this, I know that the law is good. Well, a non-believer is not going to say God's law is good. They're going to do what they want to do. So we all struggle with different vices which defile and really condemn us if our heart is not cleansed by faith in our Savior. Now, I'm sure there's things we want to change in our lives, right? Can everybody agree with that? See, nodding of heads. To get rid of some of those old bad habits and attitudes, we want to be more considerate, helpful and cooperative, less critical, to be more tolerant of others, and not just blow up in someone's face with my opinion. What I say matters, not what you say. We want to show our Christian faith by being more understanding toward our husbands and wives, being around more for our kids. Yeah, we know we need to do that. We really want to try our hardest to get on with that person that really gets under our skin, especially at work. We want to worship more regularly. We want to pray more often, be more helpful, and contribute to the congregation more regularly. All that stuff, man, that's really cool. But more than often, we end up failing at these things. Like Paul, we always seem to come up short and at the end up doing the things we don't want to do. Now, Paul goes on in verse 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. Like I said, he's talking as a Christian, a follower of Christ, yet he's describing a war going on within himself. Satan and our own sinful desires are our enemies. You see, sin blackens the entire soul. Paul knows how destructive sin is and how easily it can drag us away, the believer, into unbelief. Because, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then in verse 17, Paul says, now, listen to this. So it is no longer I do it, but sin that dwells within me. Oh, wait a minute now, Paul. At first glance, what are you doing? You're passing the buck here? I'm not responsible for my own actions? It's not me. The devil, you know, sometimes the devil made me do it. That's not what he's saying here. His point is that sin is such a powerful force, and it dwells within us seeking to control our lives, and left to our power, it would. You see, the Bible says that sin is such a deep corruption of our very nature. It's what we call original sin. We all inherited it from our original parents, Adam and Eve. We were all born into sin and bear sin's guilt. We all, in other words, came off the assembly line defective. We begin life infected with sin from the first moment in the womb. We are set apart from God. There's no purity in us of ourselves. We cannot make ourselves pure. We cannot make ourselves right with God. That's something that has to happen outside of me. That's what Paul means by saying that nothing good dwells within me. That is in my flesh. For as a Christian, he has a desire to do what's right, but he doesn't have the ability to carry it out. Sometimes I think we really don't understand the deep corruption of sin has in our lives. Oh, sure, we know we've done things wrong. I'm not as bad as the other guy, though. I have a few flaws, but they can be fixed. Or how many of you hear people say, well, I'm basically a good person. But that's not what Paul is saying in our epistle this morning. He's trying to get to the point that sin is so deep within our nature, that's it. She says, I don't understand what I do. You ever come to that word? Why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. St. Augustine, who was probably the greatest theologian in the first millennia, wrestled with this question of original sin. He pondered on this in his book, The Confessions. Augustine writes about when he was a teenager. He and a group of friends, they snuck into a neighbor's property and stole some pears. No big deal. Then they didn't eat the pears. They didn't take them home. You know what they did? They took the pears and they smashed them against the neighbor's house and ran away laughing at what they did. Many years later, as an adult, and after Augustine's conversion, this really bothered him as he was contemplating, why did we do that? He could understand the need for someone to steal pears if they were starving. He could understand the biological drive for sex that leads to fornication and adultery. But what really bothered him about the stealing of the pears was that, one, he wasn't hungry, and secondly, he didn't like pears. So why did he steal pears just to smash them against the wall for the sheer thrill of it? What was it that made him do it? And he realized also, like Paul, that sin is so corrupt in us that we're capable of most any evil. And we find ourselves many times, right, doing the evil we don't want to do. So Paul was at the end of his rope, knowing that the only outcome for such a person is eternal punishment and death. He wants to throw up his hands and give up. And then notice in verse 24, he cries out, "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Here it comes. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ the Lord." You see, we share the same condition as Paul, as having a body of death. But the good news this morning is we share the same solution, which is Jesus. It's Jesus, only Jesus. Because of his death and resurrection, he atoned for all our sins, your sins and my sins. You have been made new in Christ. You are now declared righteous by faith. Martin Luther said that we are a saint and sinner at the same time. That's a hard concept to understand. What do you mean I'm a saint and sinner? Don't I have to strive to become better? No. Christ's righteousness is given to you. All your sins are covered. When you come to know Jesus and place your trust in him as your Savior, your heart is cleansed. The Holy Spirit gives us the desire then to fight against sinful lusts, to live a life pleasing to God. Oh, and you know what? Will we fall again? Because we do. We still carry that sinful nature. We know that when we can confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's right there. Jesus is to pick you up and give you a renewed desire to live a life pleasing to him. Boy, that was comforting news for Paul, and it's comforting news for you this morning and me. You know, in Corinthians, Paul said too, there was a thorn given him in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. How many of you go through things that torment you emotionally or spiritually, some even physically? We don't know what this thorn was, just like we don't know what the bad habit was in Romans 7. But Paul said, I sought God. I prayed three times. I pleaded to take it away. Take this away. I don't want it. You know what the Lord said? Listen to this. My grace is all you need. My power is made perfect in your weakness. God promises that just like with St. Paul, that his grace is sufficient for us and his power is made perfect in our weakness. That's the answer to our sinful condition. So St. Paul knows he's been delivered from sin's dominion and power. Yes, he still struggles with these old habits. And yes, we still struggle with these old habits. And some of us will have these same habits till the day we die. But he and you and me are finally free to serve a living God who gave up his Son to make us new creatures. And whatever you're struggling with, know that God's grace is sufficient for you also. And his power is made perfect in your weakness. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, we're not alone in our struggle against sin and bad habits. As the body of Christ right here, Jesus is here this morning. How's he here? His body. Okay, we are his body. And as the body of Christ, we need to support and encourage one another. We need to pray for each other. Did you know we have a ministry here at Hope called Celebrate Recovery? And it meets every Thursday night where people come to support and pray for one another through their struggles in life. As you know, it says in the book of James, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other that you may be healed. There's power in prayer against the evil foe. And we need to support and encourage one another, whatever struggles we go through. You see, when we fail like Paul and end up doing the things we don't want to do, Jesus then calls us to repentance and purifies us with forgiveness. He alone gives us the power to do the things that please him. It's not your doing. That's what it means to be 100% saint and 100% sinner at the same time. I love it. So are you burdened this morning by troubled by many things and bad habits? Are there circumstances that seem out of control? You want to do better, but always seem to fail. Well, Jesus said in our gospel this morning, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light, my burden is light." So come to him this morning with all your burdens, cares, your bad habits, whatever it is, and he will give you rest. That's the Jesus we have. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.